This is Brother Tommy Brooks. I'm the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call hosted by the Holla Heights Church of Christ, located 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. We're very thankful tonight to have everyone on the call, especially thankful for those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are a very honored guest. You are the VIP of this audience. We have thousands of people listening right now, and you are the most important person on this call. Those of us in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. And we put this call on with you in mind. We want you to know what you must do to save your soul. And so we're so grateful for those who invited you, and we want you to feel a warm welcome of love from those of us in the Churches of Christ as we are hosting this call to share with those of our friends, family, and loved ones who have not heard the basic truth about saving their soul. Let us pray to God before we go to our Father, we thank you so very much for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, you loved us, and you gave your Son, and the Bible tells us that there's no greater love than the one he showed, and that he gave his life for his friend. And you so loved the world that you gave him. And we're so thankful for his blood that washes away our sins, and purchase his beautiful wife, the bride of Christ, the church. Lord, help us tonight to reach those who don't know you and depart in their sin. Thank you for our speaker. We pray you be with him as we share with us the simple truth about what one must do to be saved. Let us pray to God before we hear our speaker. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Bible, for the written word inspired. The Holy Spirit gave it to us, and we can find it, we can read it, and we can believe it, for none of us have been on the other side of death. But we know this book you've given us gives us those basic instructions, for we know we're going to die. But we want to go to heaven, and we want our friends and families to go with us. Help us, Lord, tonight. Be with the listening audience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for joining the call. We pray that you will take your Bible, open it up, take a pencil and paper, and take notes of the things that Brother Banks will say, because I know he'll speak from truth. Brother Banks, David Banks, is a good friend of mine. When I served in Arkansas, in Fort Smith, he served in Van Buren, and we were also on one accord there. He's 53 years old, been preaching for 30 years, and for the past 20 years, he's been at the Arena Road Church of Christ, there in Van Buren, Arkansas, married to his beautiful wife, Donna, with three beautiful daughters. At this time, we're going to ask Brother Banks to come on and tell us the truth. We want to know the truth, Brother Banks, about this thing, about all you have to do is believe in Jesus. We're going to let Brother Banks, y'all help me welcome Brother Banks at this time. Brother Banks.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Brooks, for giving me the opportunity, and I want to say thank you to everyone that's tuning in over your telephone this evening. Hope everybody can hear me. I consider it a great privilege to be invited onto this program to speak alongside of some great men who will also be preaching and have been preaching in this series. This series, my understanding, is a series called The Truth About, and my assigned topic is the truth about this question or this statement: all that you have to do to be saved is to believe in Jesus Christ. Some also have called this doctrine the doctrine of faith-only salvation, and so I want to address this subject. We're challenging many subjects in this series of meetings. It's okay to challenge yourself, challenge your beliefs from time to time. And when we do that, if we find out that we're right about what we believe, then that's good. That's confirmation that we're in a right relationship with God, at least on that particular subject. However, if we were to find out that we were wrong, then that can be a blessing. It may be a hard learned lesson, but it can be a blessing because it gives you now an opportunity to do something about this, whatever this thing is that you may be, find out that you're not accurate in. So let's go ahead and get started on our subject tonight. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. And if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them up now to the book of Acts, chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 36 through 41. I'm not going to talk about this passage at this time. I'm just going to read it. I want you to be thinking about it as we go through the rest of this lesson, and then, God willing, we will refer back to this at the end of the lesson, and we'll understand this hopefully better at that time. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, as I said, this is the day of Pentecost. This is in the city of Jerusalem. There were thousands of Jews that heard this message. This was the first time that the gospel was preached publicly in this form. They were preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You might notice also that they talked about the remission of sins. And I want us to understand this evening, ladies and gentlemen, that sin is our problem. Sin is the problem that we have, and it's the problem that we need to take care of. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, wrote this, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Now, iniquity is a kind of a fancy word for sin. And he says that your iniquities have caused a separation between you and God. Nobody, no right-thinking person wants to be separated from God. We want to be close to God. And as God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he created them just as he wanted them to be. And he placed them in the garden that he had made and gave them a perfect relationship with him. That relationship would later be ruined because of sin. And sin caused a separation between Adam and Eve and God, same way that it causes a separation between us and God when we sin. Sin is defined in the Bible. In John, the first John chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Think about the word lawlessness for just a moment. When we're talking about the law, we're talking about the New Testament. We do not live under the Old Testament. That law does not apply to us. We live under the New Testament. And so, according to this definition, if in the New Testament we are commanded to do something, but we don't do it, that by definition is sin. Or if, according to the New Testament, we're commanded not to do something, but we do it anyway, that by definition is sin. Now, it's been my experience that, and probably yours too, that most people know sin when they see it. Telling lies, that's a sinful thing to do. Fornication, adultery, those things, sexual relations outside of marriage, those are sinful activities. Getting drunk and high and doing things like that. Doing bad things, that's how most people typically define sin. But we have another definition in the Bible in James chapter 4 and verse 17 that sheds a little more light on it. James wrote, To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, what that means is that you might be a very good and fine person. You may be a moral, upright, righteous person by most respects. You may be one who is honest, doesn't tell lies, honest in your business. You may be a good family man. You may try your best to always be faithful and honest and moral. But you may do all of those things, and you may not think that you're a sinner. But the Bible says that there are some things that we must do that if we neglect, it's sin to us. And so we need to realize that even though you may be a good person, you may still be a sinner. And if you're a sinner, You are separated from God because of your sins. And sin, then, is the problem. So in order for us to have a right relationship with God, our sins have to be removed. We cannot do this on our own. We need help. And so God sent us a Savior, His own Son, come to this earth to live and to die and to be raised from the dead so that our sins could be forgiven, just like they were the Jews on the day of Pentecost. I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. As we address this topic of all you have to do to be saved is to believe in Jesus, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, Ephesians, chapter 2. And the Bible says, this is the Apostle Paul writing, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, a lot of people will take this passage and try to teach that we're saved by grace and not by works. That, in other words, when they ask, "What shall we do?" the answer is, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. And there's nothing that you can do. There's no works that you can do that can save your soul. They would say that baptism is a work of the flesh, and we can't be saved by works. Therefore, we can't be saved by baptism, even though we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. But we understand that we're not saved by works. We don't save ourselves. But we do say that one must obey the will of God in order to be saved. So to show that in the scriptures, let's look over at James chapter 2, at what James wrote. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. James wrote, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by the works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.'" Now, in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham is given a promise by God. God promises to give him a son. This son would be his son Isaac, and it would be through Isaac that eventually the seed or the Christ would come. It would be through that seed that the world would be saved from sin. And Abraham was an old man at the time, but he believed God, and it was accredited to him for righteousness. His faith was accredited to him for righteousness. Now, two chapters later in Genesis 17, God commands Abraham to be circumcised and to circumcise all the males in his household. Now, what do you suppose would have happened if Abraham had refused to obey the command to be circumcised? He was an old man. Maybe he didn't want to be circumcised. What if he had refused? Do you think that his faith would have saved him? Do you believe that just believing that God was one who keeps his promise would be enough to save Abraham without him having to obey the command to be circumcised. Later on in Genesis chapter 22, God gives Abraham an even more difficult command. He says for him to take his son, Isaac, take him to a place he's going to show him, kill him, and offer his body as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham does not question God. He has that kind of faith. He takes his son. He takes him to the mountain. He builds an altar. He places his son on the altar. He's about to plunge a knife into his son, the son that God promised. Genesis chapter 22, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 says that Abraham's faith was so strong that he believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. That's how strong Abraham's faith was. It was because of his strong faith that Abraham was willing to obey the command of God. But God stopped him. And even so, when God told Abraham that now he knew, because he was willing to obey, now he knew that that Abraham was his faithful servant, he said, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because, Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say that we can get into Christ through faith only. We get into Christ through baptism. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, verses 26 and 27, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, or because as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He said, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do you get into Christ? You are baptized into Christ. If you're baptized into Christ, before you're baptized into Christ, you are outside of Christ. If you're outside of Christ, it's because your sin has separated you from God. It's not possible for a person to be saved if he is outside of Christ. But we can get into Christ, he said, once again, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, let's see this illustrated in an actual case in the Bible. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 16. And notice here, now this is the case of the Philippian jailer. And I want you to notice, I'm going to read verses 30 to 34. Let me tell you what's going on before I read this. The Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas have been beaten, and they've been arrested, beaten, and put in prison. They're fastened in the stocks. It's the middle of the night. They are bleeding and bruised and hurting, but they're spending their time praying, singing hymns, and all the prisoners can hear them. There's an earthquake that takes place. All the prison doors are opened. The jailer awakes and realizes that the prison is upset. He assumes that all the prisoners have escaped. But Paul calls out, before he can take his own life, Paul calls out and says, do yourself no harm, we're all here. And in verse 30, brings them out, and in verse 30 it says, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And notice what Paul says. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his house. Now think about this case. Here he asked, what must I do to be saved? That's the question that we're all asking. What must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. The next thing that happens is that he takes him to his house, and Paul and Silas preach the word of Jesus Christ to them. They needed to know who Jesus was, who this Jesus was that they needed to believe in order to be saved. And so Paul tells them the truth about Jesus Christ, and about the death, burial, and resurrection, about baptism into Christ, about the forgiveness of their sins. The next thing we know that happens is that he takes them the same hour of the night, immediately the same hour of the night, he washes their stripes, and he and everybody in his household of age was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. They heard, they believed, and they were given something to obey, and so they obeyed it. That is the method that takes place in every case of conversion that's recorded in the book of Acts. Now, Jesus said, right before he ascended back up into heaven, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Let me read that again to you, okay? Jesus said, this is Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Now, let's go back to the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost now, and the Jews are in the city of Jerusalem. They are there celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. They had been there, many of them, most of them perhaps, had been there celebrating the Passover just 50 days before this. It was during the Passover feast that Jesus was arrested and crucified, and now it's 50 days after that, and it's the day of Pentecost. It's the first day of the week. The Jews are in the city of Jerusalem. The apostles are also there in the city of Jerusalem. There is the sound of a mighty rushing wind that fills the house where the apostles are. Something like tongues of fire come and rest upon each of the apostles' heads, and they begin to speak in tongues. They are speaking in tongues. The sound of the mighty wind could be heard throughout the city. People come to investigate the source of this noise, this sound. When they arrive, they hear the apostles preaching, and everybody that is there hears them speaking in his own native tongue. So by this great miracle, this miraculous event, God has removed a language barrier and proven that what these men are saying is a message from God and not just something they're making up. Now, they are preaching, the apostles are preaching, and everybody's hearing in their own native language the gospel, the good news about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Jews in Jerusalem are being told now that they have taken by lawless hands, they've put Jesus, the Son of God, to death, but God has raised him from the dead. And this message of good news is not received by them as good news. This is a message that terrifies them, as we read a moment ago. When Peter said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, it seems to me that this would be a perfect opportunity for Peter to say to them, "There's nothing that you need to do. All you have to do is believe in Jesus as your personal Savior, to accept him as Savior, pray this prayer and invite him into your heart to forgive your sins and take you as his personal child of God." But that's not what happened. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answered them by giving them something to do. He said, "Repent," verse 38, "and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He said, they asked, "What shall we do?" They were terrified. They thought that they were going to be eternally doomed. They realized that they were sinners separated from God because of their sins. They said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission," or for the forgiveness, for the wiping away of your sin. Sin, ladies and gentlemen, is the problem. Sin is what separates us from God. We must have our sins taken out of the way so that we can have a right relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. And so now they asked what to do, and they were told what to do to have their sins erased, their sins wiped out, their sins forgiven. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of your sins." He said this promise in verse 39, "This promise is to you and to your children." They were Jews. It was the day of Pentecost. And he says this promise is for the Jews and for their descendants, the descendants of the Jew. He didn't stop there. "And to all who are afar off." Well, the Gentiles were afar off at this point. But Jesus, or God, was going to even forgive the sins of the Gentiles who were afar off. He didn't stop there. He said, for as many as the Lord our God will call. This promise of being repenting and being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins in the name of Jesus Christ is the message of the gospel that started there on the day of Pentecost and kept going, is still in effect to this very day. This is the same gospel that will save you and I today. So this is not something that we need to do in order to just simply believe in Jesus, but it's something that we need to do. And if Abraham had said, well, I don't want to be circumcised, then the Bible probably would not say of Abraham, and Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And if we say, well, we don't want to be baptized, we'll just believe in Jesus and let that be enough to save us. He said, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They were given something to do. They interpreted it as a command that needed to be obeyed. And when they obeyed the command to be baptized, God added them to his church, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Now, I would say that in order for us to be saved, we must obey the simple command to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ to have our sins forgiven. And that will take care of the sin problem. And we'll have to remain faithful from that point on until the day that we die in order for us to remain in a right relationship with God. But it occurs to me that many people, maybe those hearing this message, some of those hearing this message tonight, have not had this understanding about how to become saved and how to have our sins forgiven. And maybe you believe this because this is what you were taught by your mother or your father or somebody that you respected. And I would simply say to you and encourage you, it's one thing to know, to find out that you were wrong about something. It's one thing to have an opportunity to do something about it. But having the opportunity to do something about it and having the courage to do something about it are two different things. There comes a time in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, when we have to stop thinking about our ancestors and start thinking about our descendants. We need to think about how our obeying the gospel today will make it easier for our children to obey the gospel at some point down the line, or how our refusing to obey the gospel tonight might make it harder for them to hear, accept, and obey the truth later on in their lives. Let's do the right thing. Let's make sure that we do what God wants us to do so that we can be saved, our sins can be forgiven, that we, if you need to be baptized, then don't wait. Go ahead and be baptized. Find somebody who will baptize you into Christ this very night, immediately, the same hour. I thank you so much for listening tonight. Thank you for having me in this gospel meeting. I will turn it back over to my brother, Brother Brooks. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother David. And certainly you have told what I wanted you to tell, that is the truth about people believing that all they have to do is believe. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, these are believers that shall enter the kingdom. That's what I wanted you to do, and you've done a great job. To our visiting friends and family and loved ones, we want you to know, just believing won't get you into heaven. That's something that certainly has been not taught properly. If you want to hear more about what Brother Banks has said tonight, go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. HollandHeightsCoc.net, and you can hear these messages. I also say to everyone, go to our website. You can download the flyer. You can also listen to the message again. To our visitors, get back with the friend, family, a loved one, a coworker, whoever it was who invited you to this call. They wanted you to know this. They wanted you to know that there is a straight and narrow way to go to heaven. You know, with so many people dying, so many people going to miss heaven. Don't let that be you. We have brought a preacher into your home tonight from 9 to 9:30. A little over tonight because we started. But you got a basic sermon, a lesson from the scripture. Thank you for joining us. Please don't put it off. Make it urgent. Get back with the person who put you on a call or email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will ensure that you get someone to you for further Bible studies, or if you're interested in getting baptized tonight, go ahead and call me. My number is 281-750-2702. I will make the arrangement, as we did this past Sunday with a lady in San Antonio. People are calling from all over the nation. We're thankful to have each of you on. And so that we don't prolong the announcements and take it away from the speaker, we want to ask you tonight, if you have questions, please email us. Know that we love you. Know that we want to answer your questions. And know that we're coming to your home every night this week. Every night through the end of June, now going into July, we made a decision to go in. We'll bring a preacher to your house. Let him sit down at the table with you and your family and teach you the base of what you must do to save you. The upcoming speakers tomorrow night, a great friend of mine, Brother Gary Colley, is going to speak the subject, the truth about the baptism for the remission of sin. Another brother of mine and good friend, Wednesday night, Brother Lewis Parker IV. Talk about the truth about whose prayers God hears. And Wednesday night, Brother B.J. Clark from Memphis School of Preaching, the truth about being saved by grace alone. The Richard Stevens out of Dallas, Texas. Talk about Friday night, the truth about whose name, book. Oh, we got some great speakers. Much more to come. And so tonight, we just want to encourage you. Please stay tuned. Please call. Please don't give up. Please listen. Please hear us. Here's why. In a world that we live in, what we all must read, all souls matter to God. May God bless you. My sister minister, Brother Horace Stroud, will come on and give us a closer. Go to our website. Everything's there. HollandHeightsCoc.net. HollandHeightsCoc.net. And everything is there. Recorded message, and everything you need to know about the upcoming. You can download the flyers. You can download the sermon. Thank you all. Thank you, Church of Christ. Thank you, Brothers of Christ. Help us for the world. All they need to know, Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Tommy. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your manservant who shared with us from your word that belief only or faith only is dead if it is alone. We show our faith through our works and our obedience to your word. We pray, dear Lord, for those that are VIPs tonight, those whom we call our very important persons. You are those that are outside of Christ, not members of the Church of Christ. Our prayer is for you. Our hope is that you are a seeker of truth and want to obey God. And, dear Lord, we ask that those that are listening, that they will open up their hearts and obey that which they heard from your word and from your manservant. Pray for those that are on the call that are members of the Church of Christ, dear Lord, that have gotten on each night, hopefully, or various nights, supporting the gospel message, hearing your word again themselves, renewing those things that they have already heard but been brought back to their remembrance. Dear Lord, we just thank you again for all that are on the call. We ask that you will continue to bless the call. We know that it would not, your word would not return unto you void. Accomplish that which you have given it to do as it enter into the hearts of those that are not only good but honest and obey your will. We just thank you again for this opportunity tonight to be on the call. This prayer we offer in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. Thank you to all those from different states that are calling in. We got a group from Mississippi with a large crawl on. A lot of visitors on, the latest Bible class, and others from Tahlequah, Oklahoma, with a lot of visitors on one phone line. We love all of you all. And just remember this, friends. Just because you believe in Jesus does not mean you're saved. You must obey. That's our message. Sleep well.